Support for Radio Boston comes from Hadestown at the Box Center Wang Theater, Broadway's Tony and Grammy-winning Best Musical, an epic celebration of music, togetherness, and hope, raves Forbes. Playing April 23rd through April 28th. Buy your tickets today at boxcenter.org.
This is Radio Boston. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty.
And I'm Adam Ragusea in today for Anthony Brooks.
You're listening to a quiet summer scene today at Minot Park in Brookline. Children playing in the sandbox, sliding down the slide, and running through the sprinklers.
And of course, helicopter parents hovering over their kids as they make their way through the jungle gym.
My name is Miriam Pappas, and I live in Brookline, Massachusetts.
I don't really roughhouse too much. I definitely do a little bit of tickling here and there, but that's about it. I'm pretty kind of low-key when it comes to roughhousing.
All right, well, let's imagine a different scene. Parents and children rolling over each other on the floor of a gym and sitting in circles, taking turns pulling off each other's socks. It's actually pretty athletic, flipping, dipping, and tossing.
So that's what you're hearing right now, the squeals of happy children participating in a roughhousing event with their parents back in April.
The event was sponsored by Boston-based psychologist Dr. Larry Cohen. Just hearing the screams of children, you know that there's something going on there. But Dr. Cohen argues that a little rough and tumble is just what these kids are actually missing in their lives. His new book is The Art of Roughhousing, Good Old-Fashioned Horseplay and Why Every Kid Needs It. And it goes so far as to provide diagrams on moves to do with your kids.
Take, for example, the red tornado, in which the child places his hands through his legs, the parent grabs them from behind and pulls up hard.
Now, if done properly, the child somersaults forward and is lowered gently back to earth. But the book warns, the key is to lift at the same time as you flip, otherwise you risk cracking his head on the floor.
Oh, we don't do any of that.
No. I'm, like, really into safety and stuff, and my kids get scared.
Honestly, as a parent myself, I can't blame her entirely, but the joys and benefits of roughhousing, that is today's talker. So listeners, we want to hear your stories. Do you remember roughhousing with your parents when you were a kid? And do you roughhouse with your kids today? Maybe one parent in your household likes to rough and tumble while the other one just watches or can't even bear to watch. And is that a source of tension? Perhaps you think there are other things you should be doing with your kids other than horsing around. Or, when you step back and think about it, what are kids missing socially, physically, even emotionally when they don't get a daily dose of good old-fashioned roughhousing? Give us a call at 1-800-423-8255. That's 1-800-423-TALK. Well, joining us now in the studio is Dr. Larry Cohen. He is co-author of The Art of Roughhousing. Dr. Cohen is a licensed psychologist, and his book, Playful Parenting, is in its 11th printing. Dr. Cohen, welcome to Radio Boston.
Thanks so much for having me.
So I guess I just first have to ask, as Adam and I were looking through the diagrams of all the things that you can do with your kids to sort of rile them up a bit. We'll go through one or two of them in a second, but what got you inspired to write a whole how-to on tossing your kids through the air?
Well, when I wrote my book, Playful Parenting, there was a section on roughhousing, and really that was about get down on the floor, wrestle, have pillow fights, loosen up a little bit. And then my co-author, Anthony, about a couple of years ago, he called me out of the blue, and he's a young dad with young daughters, and he loves to roughhouse, and he went out looking for a book about trying to find new ideas for roughhousing because he was getting a little tired of the same old games. So he called me, and we talked and talked, and we decided to write this book together. And what was really fun was that I came in with the let's get wild, roll around on the floor, wrestle, and he came in with some set moves. Flips and tumbles. He was much more athletic than me, and he's younger. He doesn't need knee pads when he does this. And he was a gymnast, and so we really learned from each other. He kind of took on more of the go wild, pillow fight, and okay. I took on more of the things like red tornado, which you really do have to practice.
Yeah, some of these should come with warnings for the parents,
exactly.
Maybe more so than the kids. But actually, let's talk about some of these moves in particular.
Sure.
How about, I don't know how to say this, Futaleufu, mattress rafting?
Yes, this is, it's named after a river in Chile, which is supposed to have the hardest rapids. And mattress rafting is, you get a twin bed mattress or a toddler crib mattress or a tumbling mat, and you put it on the stairs, and you hop on, and you go bumping down the stairs on the raft. And you might start almost at the bottom of the stairs, so you only go a little ways, and then build up to the top of the stairs. And it's a lot of fun. Now, of course, you can get a little tumble. This is not for the faint-hearted.
I love how you write in the book, this move is rated hard because of the need for extra caution to prevent crashing into a railing or flipping over on the way down.
Right, right. So we have moves in here in the book that are for beginners and people who are reluctant to roughhouse. And we have things that are extreme, like this mattress rafting or climbing up walls and things like that.
Okay, so, you know, in this day and age, and you know, as I mentioned, I'm a new parent myself, and we'll get into a little bit more about my personal tensions over this. But everyone seems to say, oh, you know, I don't want to do that with my kids. But when we talk about it, memories come flooding back of roughhousing in our own childhood. I mean, Adam, you were just telling the staff a story earlier.
Oh, sure, yeah. So I was thinking about a moment with my father when I was a little kid, and there was a fresh snow, and he took me outside, and we were walking around in the snow, and he picks me up above, like, really, really high, like to his head level. My dad was a tall fellow. And just drops me into the snow. Mm-hmm. And the snow was just not as deep as he was anticipating it to be. So I got really hurt. Like, the wind went way out of me, and I'm, you know, I can't breathe that. It was a really scary moment for me. And I was really mad at him, and I remember being really grumpy toward him. Yeah. But as I think back to that experience now as an adult, who do I have more sympathy for? My father. How must my father have felt in that moment? It must have been just terrifying.
Right. I think that we've moved from a sense of safety first, which makes sense, to safety only, which doesn't make sense.
Huh.
And I was one of those helicopter parents at the playground when my daughter was little. And I remember one time vividly, she was getting to the point where she could climb up higher than I was comfortable with. She was completely fine. But I was nervous, and I was standing underneath the jungle gym saying, be careful, be careful, be careful, be careful. Are you sure you can do that? Maybe you should come down. I don't know. And somebody walked by and said, you know, I think that she'll recover better from a broken arm than from being scared and timid all her life. And I thought, gosh, I didn't realize I was telegraphing my feelings here so much. But I really took that to heart. And I realized that that is actually true. And I really turned myself around. I became devoted to roughhousing. And really, for children, it's a way that for them to feel powerful and to feel strong.
What do you mean when you say powerful? Because anyone who's watched children of any age know that it seems like roughhousing is just a natural state of being for them. They like to throw their bodies all across the place and at each other quite frequently. So how does, you know, sort of orchestrated roughhousing with parents make them more powerful?
Well, right. This is how they learn who they are and where they are, where their bodies are in space, by spinning around and falling over. And the power and the confidence comes from the parent tuning in with the child. And you described Red Tornado at the beginning of the show. And I watched a group of parents and kids doing the Red Tornado, where the child stands in front of you, facing away from you, puts their hands back under their legs, and you grab their hands, lift them up, and flip them over.
Okay.
Now, this takes practice, and this takes tuning in. And I watched parents and children do it over and over and over until they got it right. And they were so excited. Once they got it, they said, come over and watch, come over and watch. And there was a sense of closeness and confidence that the child had. Like, wow, I can really do something I never imagined that I could do.
And their parents empowered them to do it.
Absolutely. Oh. Absolutely.
Well, you know, we actually have a ton of callers who want to join us. Lots of comments pouring in. We've got one on Facebook from Brandy King, who says, one time my dad let my sister and I play bullfight while he waved our blankies and we crashed into one another head on.
Well, right. We have to use common sense. We actually dropped a move from the book, which was
really?
you put we decided it was a little too dangerous. The parent and child each put a pillow on their head and run towards each other and crash. But we had so many warnings, like the parent has to pull back a little bit so you don't crash head on, and tell children not to do this with each other because they're not going to get it right. We decided we better drop that one.
Yeah, and with all the studies about head trauma, I think that was probably
exactly
a good one to remove from the
book.
But,
you know, my colleague Anthony, who I wrote this book with, is a physician, and he told me that emergency rooms are not filled with people who roughhouse with their parents. It's pretty rare. Kids who don't get to do this at home, and they go outside when nobody's looking, and they decide to jump off a roof, those are the ones who end up in the emergency room.
All right, well, I've got to let our listeners in through the gate here because they are banging at the door very loud. We're at 1-800-423-8255. That's 800-423-TALK, and we are talking about the joys and benefits of roughhousing. Camille is calling from Franklin. You're on the air, Camille.
Hi, I roughhouse quite a bit with three brothers at home, and my husband grew up not roughhousing at all, and I actually used to call him Ralph Nader because he's such a safety expert. But I'm really impressed that he does roughhouse with our kids, and we've always made sure our kids notice, listen to his voice, listen to how he's sounding, because I think you need to have a safe word or a real assessment of whether somebody's having fun, because I know as a kid, if I said no, it was never, ever, ever respected. So you had this fear of you wanted a roughhouse, but you were also scared that you were going to get hurt. But our kids are 3 and 1, and even the one-year-old, we say, Henry, listen, can you see how her face? She's not happy anymore, and then we pull back. But I think roughhousing is so important to get out natural aggression that we're not allowed to show anymore, as long as it's done in a safe way.
Camille, thank you. Looks like we lost you there, but thank you so much for your call. Dr. Cohen, Camille also makes a point about maybe not every kid is ready for it.
Well, absolutely. This is why I'm not a big fan of tickling, parents tickling kids, because most of us experienced when we were little being tickled and held down against our will, and we were saying no, but we were laughing, and so this gave this message that, hey, it's okay. But we were laughing because it's an involuntary reflex, and we actually felt scared and out of control. Mm. So I loved what Camille said about tuning in to your child, really paying attention. Some parents, and I have to say dads are notorious for this, are known for swooping in, and they come in, and they're really excited to see their kid because they've been away, and it's like, oh, here you are, and they'll grab a perfectly happy, content, relaxed, quiet baby and grab them and start flying around the room. Well, the baby starts screaming, and the dad thinks, oh, they're having fun. And so it might be a squeal of fear and not a squeal of delight. And doesn't mean don't fly that kid around. What it means is when you first see your child, sit down with them, take a look at what they're doing, enjoy that quiet time, and then say, hey, you want to do some flying? And then they'll say, yeah, yeah, yeah. And then you pick them up and fly them around the house.
Let's get another call in here. Sarah is calling from Westboro. Welcome to Radio Boston, Sarah.
Hi, how are you?
I'm doing well. What's your thought today?
I actually was calling because I've also noticed I guess, roughhoused quite a bit with my son. I grew up with it. My dad was always, pulling us through his legs over his shoulders, this sort of stuff, and sliding down banisters, so it's how I grew up, so I treat my son the same way. And I've noticed a lot recently that when we're at our house, a lot of his friends, if they see us interacting like this, get very nervous and very, I guess, almost a little bit scared of what's happening.
Mm. Because they're they don't get that same sort of roughhousing in their homes, you're saying?
I would assume not, and I found it interesting that so few of them appear to have that sort of interaction these days. And I know, obviously, I've often had issues with, over-sanitizing and all this sort of stuff. I get the safety issues and the whatever, but I feel like sometimes it's a bit overdone, and I think the kids aren't learning how to step outside of themselves a little bit.
Well, Sarah, thank you so much for your call, because that's actually a point I absolutely want to pick up with Dr. Cohen. So we talked about just the physical safety aspect of it and how kids are little balls of energy, and this is one way to help sort of safely unleash that energy. But what about what Sarah was talking about, sort of the emotional benefits of roughhousing?
Right, absolutely. That I really appreciate that call, because I think that there are children who are afraid of it and who don't know what to do. And there's a lot of research on the emotional intelligence that comes from roughhousing. And some of it is from the way that parent and child have to tune in to one another. You really have to pay attention. And the core of emotional intelligence is being able to know what you feel and read what other people feel. Mm-hmm. And so moving around in body, and emotional intelligence is a physical thing. You can't think your way through emotional intelligence. And so it's a physical thing, and doing it through play, through physical activity, is the real way to learn it.
Let's get another call in here, this time from a dad. Paul is calling from Danvers. You're on the air, Paul.
Hi. My parents with me never, they were always the proper parents, never really interacted on a physical basis. And I've got three kids, two boys and a daughter. And I used to roughhouse all the time with them, in the pool, low stress. We used to throw each other around, great sibling interaction. I think many times girls don't feel equal with boys on the same level, but my daughter being able to interact with her other two brothers with me, I think she felt really equal. I think it gave them a sense of self-esteem. We did this kind of thing weekly, and I really think it also had a real good ability to break down barriers between the parent and the child.
Paul, let me ask you a quick question. Did you ever let your kids, when they were roughhousing with you, did you let them win?
Oh, absolutely.
And how did you know? How did you know when, like, okay, this time, this like fifth time we've done the red tournament, or I guess other wrestling, like this time I'm going to let them win?
Well, to be honest with you, my kids got me laughing so hard almost every single time. I didn't have to pretend to win; they beat me. even when they were younger, I remember that we were trying to like play football in the water, and you know I had to get by them, and they'd make me laugh so hard that I was just turned to mush.
Paul, thank you so much for your call. Dr. Cohen, this is another important issue that I was actually just thinking about earlier. Like, my parents were not roughhousers at all. Like, not at all.
Yeah.
I might have been prone to it naturally, throwing my own self off tree branches and stuff. But the idea of actually having a constructed game where children beat their parents sometimes.
Right, absolutely. This was probably the number one question that I get asked, and especially by dads, which is, should I let my child win? When should I let them win? When should I try my hardest? And I really believe that at first, and for a long time, children need to build up confidence with us. They need, when they're toddlers, what a great game is, they touch us with one finger and you go flying over. And they'll say, again, 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 and then you do that again. And slowly, over time, you make them work harder for that big flip that you do. And so they have to really push you. And at some point, if you do this, your child will say, are you trying your hardest? And then you could say, would you like me to try my hardest? And usually they'll say, well, maybe you could try half your hardest. And so if we take our lead from children, they'll give us an idea of, hey, am I confidence building? Am I in confidence building mode where I want to win? And show that, hey, I'm strong, I'm king of the mountain? Or am I in testing mode where I want to see, okay, you try your hardest, and I want to see, even if I lose, I feel strong because, hey, dad went all out.
Okay, so let me ask you, I mean, we heard from Paul, who's a dad.
Yeah, I love that.
And as I mentioned, I'm a mom. We have a 10-month-old little girl at home. She seems kind of naturally prone to roughhousing, even at 10 months. Her favorite thing is to throw herself backwards, violently, of her own accord.
Yeah.
And, my husband, it kind of freaks him out too, but he plays with her when she does that. It's
great.
A really lovely game to watch.
Yep.
I, however, even though I was very outdoorsy and broke all sorts of arms and legs as a child, as a mom, I can't bear to watch it sometimes. So I wonder, does this gender divide, it can't just be us. I mean, I feel genuinely nervous. I'm like, oh my God, my little girl is going to break her neck.
I do see that gender lineup a lot where dad is just, hey, let's go, throw you in the air. And mom's like, don't do that, don't do that. Or more commonly, why are you getting them revved up 10 minutes before bedtime? So there is that gender divide, but it's certainly not all the time. I was a helicopter dad, and I hear from lots and lots of moms who are the roughhouser in their house. And so
we heard from some of them already.
Yeah, we heard from some of them, and lots of moms really, really love to roughhouse.
Okay, I'm going to try and squeeze in a couple more calls here because they're just fantastic today. Diana is calling from Arlington. You're on the air, Diana.
Yes, I'm really happy to explain our kids' absolute favorite game, which we call the blanket treatment. And we would hold on to a solid blanket from all four corners, and the child would be on her back in the middle, and we would swing first slow, and then it would get higher and higher, and they just love that game so much, and always wanted to go higher. We never had an accident or problem, and it was just their absolute favorite game, and we did it with other kids at times, too, and everybody always loved it.
Sounds like the magic carpet ride in
exactly.
The book.
Exactly. We call that magic carpet ride, and it's definitely a favorite.
Let's get another call in here. Russell's calling from Newton. You're on the air, Russell.
Hi. Yeah, I just wanted to make just two comments. One is that when me and my brothers were kids, we used to do that rafting thing where we got my parents were never around, but we put the mattress on the top of the stairs and then just dive down onto it, and that was great. I remember we had a great. The other thing that I wanted to mention is I have a son and a daughter, and one of the things my daughter loves to do is she'll grab my fingers and she'll climb up me, and then I'll. Her shoulders and she'll do a backflip, and she just can't get enough of that. And one of the things I've thought about is that she's almost more active than my son, and I like that in the sense that I feel like I'm not playing the gender roles and that my daughter can be active, and it's fun for her.
Russell, thank you so much for your call. We've just got a couple minutes left here, Dr. Cohen. I guess I have two quick questions for you, finally. If families are doing a lot of roughhousing at home, and kids go to school or they're with their friends on the playground, it's not okay for everybody. So what should we to do in those situations? Are you inadvertently teaching your kids it's okay to just have a wrestling match on the soccer field?
I found exactly the opposite to be true, that the more children roughhouse at home with mom or dad, the better they are at being able to read other kids and knowing when it's okay and when it's not okay. It's the ones who never get to do it who really have this need, and they just will grab any other kid on the playground, whether the kid wants it or not.
Okay, so my last question for you, I've got my knee pads and my helmet and my umpire's chest guard. I'm ready to roughhouse with my kid. For those of parents who are out there like me, any good first beginner moves you could suggest?
Yeah, there's a game called Knock Your Socks Off, which is you get down on the floor with your shoes off and your socks on, and everybody puts their feet in the middle, and 1, 2, 3, go, and you try to get everybody else's socks on and keep your own socks. You get everybody else's socks off and keep your own socks on.
I see.
And it's a real giggle fest.
It sounds like it. Well, Dr. Larry Cohen, co-author of The Art of Roughhousing, Good Old-Fashioned Horseplay, and Why Every Kid Needs It. Thank you so much for coming in today.
Thank you.
Should we wrestle our way out of this segment?
Would you like to?
No, not really.
Okay.
I'm still
terrified.
Read
the next part if you want me to. Stay with us. Up next, The Goonies, Free Hugs, and a David Bowie burlesque. All that and more in our weekend picks. I'm Adam Ragusea.
And I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. This is Radio Boston.
Oh, my goodness.